بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. You're listening to me, Bibi Aisha Lahey, on Radio Islam International Medium Wave 1548, DSTV 826, and we are also simulcast on Sirius FM 105.7. Now, our topic for today, read to succeed. When it comes to reading, for some reason, the majority of children start rolling their eyes. Do we have to read? Why do I need to sit in front with you with this book in front of me? I don't know how to read. Very, very amusing sometimes is when you're listening to a young child read and there's a word that they cannot pronounce and they just skip the word and carry on with the story. Often parents or even teachers will interject and correct the word and tell the child, okay, this is the word, and they carry on. But we fail to realize that by your child just skipping that word, your child is telling you that I'm having a problem with reading. These are telltale signs. So to learn more about reading skills, about helping your child acquire reading skills, of how us as parents, first and foremost for me as a reminder as an educator, for myself as an educator, for parents and whoever's listening, how we can better ourselves as readers and how we can model to be perfect readers to the children that are watching us. So my guest in studio this morning is Angela Charalambos, who used to lecture in the speech and hearing department at Fisk University in the late 80s. Angela started the Workshop Reading Center 15 years ago, where she and her team work with children who have reading difficulties. She also conducts workshops for educators, parents, and has spoken at events nationwide. Angela also has the master license for the self-field reading intervention, which she has brought in from Australia, and is licensed to centers around South Africa. Angela and I have had long discussions this morning and in the week, and we've been speaking about the problem of reading in South Africa as a whole. Good morning, Angela, and welcome to Radio Islam International.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Wow, very impressive CV. Very, very impressive CV. Tell us more about yourself and the Workshop Reading Center.
Okay, well, I think personally I've always been a great reader, and I have three children, one of which is an avid reader, one of which was more of a struggling reader, and the other one is now 19 and he's become a reader. So I think just personally I've, you know, kind of experienced across the board in terms of reading, and being a passionate reader and understanding the importance of reading kind of made sense for me to work in that field. It's really rewarding to see children who are struggling readers suddenly develop this love of reading and have a whole new world of excitement opened up to them on acquiring a skill that perhaps they were uncomfortable doing or not confident with or found difficult or had an actual learning difficulty with. So the work that we've done in the Workshop Reading Center has been incredibly rewarding. The workshops that we run for teachers and for specialists developing inferential skills, experiencing the child with learning difficulties has been phenomenally well received over the last couple of months, where teachers, educators, parents, specialists actually sit in on a workshop and go through exercises where they experience the difficulties that children undergo. And just how frustrated and how much tension you feel as a reader with a difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to read about these things academically, you know, dyslexia or visual processing, but to actually experience it. So that workshop's really been very rewarding to do. But yeah,
I can imagine. I like the comparison when you speak about your three children.
Yes.
And, you know, like, so the avid reader, the one that started becoming a reader. So I would assume that they have been your greatest motivation for going into this field as well, because, you know, you have first-hand experience as a mother, because there are a lot of parents that would come. I mean, as an educator, I'm telling you this, that, you know, my child is already, it's this time of the year, and my child still cannot read.
Mm.
Or we have kids that are already in grade 4, some are in high school, and they are still having difficulty reading.
Yes.
So you are going to educate and empower us today on maybe some of them would be reminders, other things would be new skills, but when it comes to reading, there's always something to learn. You never know enough.
Yes.
So can you please take us through the obviously we know the importance of reading.
Yes.
Is in order to grow, to learn.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what life is all about.
Yeah.
So you're going to tell us a little bit about what you feel, why you feel reading is so important, and you're going to take us through the reading process, please.
Okay, sure. Well, in terms of the reading process, children, before they start any formal schooling, need to have what we call phonological awareness. So can they rhyme? Can they identify sounds? Can they manipulate words? Can they understand that, for instance, the word hot dog comes from two words, hot and dog? So just those basic making up nonsense words, just being silly with words, those are the pre-learning reading phase where they're able to identify signs. You know, McDonald's, they can't read McDonald's, yes, but they identify from shape and color and yes, so on. They may be able to copy their names without having that letter sound association. Then when formal schooling starts, it's the letter sound association needs to be in place. So we need to learn that a squiggle on a page actually stands for something, and we blend those together into words. And then that skill of decoding needs to become more and more automatic. So by the time you get to the end of the grade 2 year, you really are in a position where you are ready to use reading as a tool for learning. Sometimes we see children, what I was saying earlier, in the high school years, whose reading is sometimes 4 or 5 years behind.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can think of a child who has a big history textbook to learn, apart from the volume and the, you know, the material that he has to learn, that reading skill is supposed to be something that he uses as a tool for the learning. It's not supposed to be an obstacle. So those foundation skills are really vital to have that reading automatic in the junior primary phases, so that reading can be then used for learning going forward. Sometimes we see children whose maths is fine, and the minute we start seeing story sums and instructions, or they need to work independently, sometimes that is a stage when a reading difficulty becomes prominent, or yes, you know, we're aware of it.
Look, it's very important that reading doesn't start in grade one. Reading no. starts at home.
Yes.
So maybe if you could just take us through some, you know, signs that parents can observe that my child may be having a bit of a reading problem here. What can I do? You know, like nip it in the bud quickly.
Yes.
So maybe tell us a bit more about that.
Sure. The early stages of reading, because reading is not an automatic skill, if you immerse a child in a culture where there's a language and you speak to them, they will acquire that language. In the case of reading, it's something that needs to be taught. And with any skill, some children learn quicker and some children take longer to learn. So that grade one going into the grade 2 year, some kids will just pick it up. It's really a code. Reading is a code that they need to figure out. And some children take a little bit longer. But if the difficulty is persistent, if you see that there's not any progress, if children are able to recite the book without the book.
Yeah, exactly.
They develop a lot of coping mechanisms. Mommy, you read it first and then I'll read it to you afterwards. If you suspect that something is not the way it should be, either get an assessment done, or you can work with little skills. Start the book at the back, cover the picture, jump around in the book, because often they use visual cues. You know, if there is a story going on, they can, especially if mom's getting on with the dinner, and they can tell you a whole story without reading anything, by just prompting from the visual material that is there.
Now, like I was telling you earlier, you know, when it comes to reading assessments, and especially when you have these little boys and girls sitting in front of you with this reading book and looking up in the sky, yes, and memorize the entire book, and I'll say, but madam, I know my reading, here's my book, I know the entire book, and you're like, wow, I'm so impressed, because this child obviously memorized the book, but yes, the child doesn't understand what he or she's reading. And again, obviously what we would do is we'd go back and say, okay, read this page, yes, show me this word, and the child is looking at you with this blank expression, because like you said, that's their coping mechanism, they memorize the book, but they don't actually know what they've read, they can't identify the words.
Yes.
So again, for parents at home, you know, when you're sitting with your child, very young children, maybe, I mean, from 2, 3, 4 years old, they're listening to you. You're showing them pictures, you're talking about pictures. From when should parents start introducing their children to these little words? I mean, we spoke about sight words just now.
Yes.
We spoke about, like, incidental reading when it comes to, say, like, McDonald's or, you know, maybe a cell phone company's logo.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, kids are able to identify that. Please explain to parents a bit more about that.
Well, I think it's important to be reading even from little. I mean, I think some research shows that even reading to children in the womb has shown to be beneficial.
Yes.
And it really does develop a love of reading. So for parents reading to small children, they may identify little words before the formal reading starts. I don't think parents need to worry too much about having reading skills in place before formal schooling starts.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly exposure to material, reading for enjoyment, reading for vocabulary development, and that is really a vital skill. And a love of reading is developed from really a young age, and hopefully that will encourage children to continue reading through their schooling career.
Possible, you know, maybe a possible visit, an excursion to the library. Those things still exist. They do still exist.
Yeah. I think I often recommend for parents to go to the library in the early teen years, where parents say to me, I don't really know what type of books to buy my child.
Mm.
And books are fairly expensive, so to go out and buy books in a particular genre and then the child doesn't enjoy it, they're not going to read material that they don't enjoy.
Mm.
So library is a perfect opportunity to have exposure to different types of books and be able to explore, you know, different material and see what it is exactly that you do like. So libraries, yes, they are still there.
They still do exist. They still do exist. And a perfect way also for parents and the children to bond, I would say.
Yes. Yeah, bookshops are also great.
Yeah, spend time with your children and read to them.
Read to them. Read to them beyond the baby years also.
Most definitely. Okay, often, you know, we tend to make this assumption and we start panicking. Again, as educators and even as parents, what is the difference between a reading difficulty
mm-hmm.
versus a delay in acquiring the skill?
Okay. So, as I said earlier, reading is not a skill that is naturally acquired. It's something that needs to be taught. And sometimes children just take a little bit longer. For a child who, beyond the grade 2 year, is still showing that they are behind in their reading, that could be an indicator of a reading difficulty. And it could be anything. It could be a visual processing difficulty. It could be an auditory processing difficulty. There are a lot of things that could contribute to your child not reading at age-appropriate level. And if you think about reading as a skill, the eyes need to be working right. You need to be able to discriminate between sounds. You know, a TH sound and an F sound are very closely related in hearing, and if you cannot distinguish those sounds, it could impact on a reading skill. The other thing is, you know, eye movement, understanding the material that you're reading. Reading is very, very multifaceted. If your eye cannot move across the midline, that could be a problem. So spatial orientation, if you think about holding an object, everything that we've learnt about objects before we start formal schooling, if I hold a water bottle up and I turn it around, whichever way I turn it, it doesn't change its identity. It's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly we get to school and we have this, you know, we hold up a letter and we say, this is a ball and a bat, and it says B.
Mm-hmm.
And then we turn it around and we say, now it says D, and now it says P, now it says Q. So it's very, very difficult to then acquire these skills. And if there's a difficulty anywhere in the processing, it could impact. So I think things to look out for is progress. If a child is not progressing in their reading skill, then it perhaps is a warning signal that an assessment needs to be done.
Yes. Mm. Again, also very important that, you know, you mentioned the sounds, because when it comes to young children and reading and spelling, you know, we work with phonics.
Yes.
Like, it's not A, B, C.
No.
It's A, B, C.
Yes.
And often, you, again, you know, guidelines are provided, but sometimes we forget, maybe as parents also, when they're teaching their children the sounds, they themselves may be saying the sound incorrectly, and that's how the child is also picking it up.
Yeah, I think it's very important for teachers, you know, there's that magic triangle of teacher, parent, and child, and it's important for that to be closely monitored and everybody to be on the same page so that we're all working in the same direction in helping these children progress. But we do see children, you know, if you sound out C-A-T, you're never going to get to cat. So using the sounds is vital in terms of that blending and getting those sounds together for the early readers, especially who are struggling to blend and just get those individual sounds into the word.
Mm, and simple games, I mean, Simon Says, you know,
yes.
give him things, objects, ask him where does it begin with, and
yes,
that's the start of reading.
Yes, on a road trip, find something that starts with the what was that game called we used to play?
I Spy.
Thank
Simon,
you.
Yes, sorry, I'm saying Simon.
Are you thinking of I Spy?
I was thinking of I was thinking of I Spy, and I thought you used the wrong name. Yes, you're correct. I start with My Little Eyes, something beginning with the letter M, and then...
Or with a sound would probably be better, with the sound M or the sound SH or whatever it is. So long road trips, or even a little trip to school.
No, most
you can integrate those little things.
Most definitely. Mm. Could you please tell us more about... Like, we spoke a lot about reading in the younger children, mm-hmm. and again, you know, their love for reading starts at home. You know, if you, obviously, as a parent or caregiver, passionate about reading... calling your child to read with you.
Yes.
We spoke about paired reading.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, like we said, paired reading is not just something that is done at school. Maybe we could please explain to the listeners what is paired reading and how you can do it at home.
Okay. Well, paired reading is reading in conjunction with your child or listening to your child reading, and it's often a homework skill that is implemented in the junior primary phase where the child comes home with the reader and mom sits alongside and the child reads however many pages are allocated, we sign the little reading card and off we go. I'm on my soapbox a little bit about reading beyond that junior primary phase, because what we often see is that the reading skill advances, and then the minute that paired reading stops as a homework activity, the reading stagnates. The skill stagnates. If children hit a word, as you said earlier, that is difficult, as much as we say, come and ask me or use the dictionary, they don't. They just skip over the word, carry on going. So they're not developing their reading vocabulary. They might understand or hear a word that's in conversation, for instance, circumstance, but they might not recognize that word in text.
Mm.
So what we're finding by not still reading aloud with our children is that that level of comfort in reading more difficult and challenging material really becomes a problem. And obviously in a testing situation, the comprehensions that they're given, the material that they have to read as set workbooks, that keeps on getting more and more challenging as they go through their schooling.
Mm-hmm.
So it is important for us to read alongside our children, and not necessarily every single day. But once or twice a week for a couple of minutes, bring your school reader, bring your set workbook. What happened since the last time we read together? That gives children an opportunity to express themselves. Their expressive vocabulary is also shocking.
Definitely.
And really, if they read alongside you, what do you think that means? Developing those inferential skills as well. Why do you think the child did that? What do you think is going to happen next? Just presents an opportunity for discussion. And children don't look up words in dictionaries.
No, they don't.
They
need to learn that skill from, again, parents and educators.
Yes.
And nothing stops parents from attending workshops, like you're going to be telling us more about the workshops that you run. I mean, you know, as a parent, keeping yourself, understanding what's going on in education, the changes in education, and being in the forefront of the changes that are going on,
yes,
you can obviously assist your child. The other thing is also, you know, we can touch on this after the break. We're going to have a short air break just now. Where reading is not just something that is only for the language period at school. I mean, reading is across the board. Whatever exam that you are doing in whatever subject, you need to read.
Absolutely.
Question papers in English, or whatever home language that, you know, it is set in, but there's reading skills that needs to be in place.
Yes.
So we'll be talking more about that after the ad break. If you have any questions for Angela, please call us on 011-854-1548, and we will be returning shortly, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You're back on to Youth Talk with me, Bibi Aisha Lahir, on Radio Islam International and simulcast on Sirius FM 105.7. We're talking today, Read to Succeed, with Angela Charalumbus from the Workshop Reading Center in Four Ways. Angela, we've covered so many things about reading. To our listeners as well, if you have any questions for Angela, please do call us on 011-854-1548. Angela, during the break, we were talking about some of the learners that you've worked with who are already in high school,
mm-hmm.
who are, could we say, maybe slightly delayed with their reading skills and abilities, maybe 4 or 5 years delayed,
yes,
as you were talking. What intervention strategies have been put into place, and what is the success rate right now?
Okay, well, it's never too late to address a difficulty. I think that's an important thing to acknowledge. And we have worked with children right up to the matric level where they are 4 or 5 years behind. And reading is a skill that should improve throughout the schooling years. So if you have a child that is 3 years behind, you know, the other children continue to improve. So the challenge there is to close the gap as quickly as possible because you're basically chasing a moving train.
Yes.
You're trying to close the gap, but the benchmark that you need to reach keeps increasing and increasing. So you have to look at reading as a complete entity and as a set of skills. And when we look at brain scanning research, we see that, you know, functional MRIs have been phenomenal in being able to tell us what's happening in the brain during the reading process. And many areas of the brain are activated simultaneously. Even in silent reading, the area of the brain that processes information from your ears is activated. So when we remediate, traditionally we only remediate using vision.
Mm-hmm.
And Selfield is an intervention that was developed in Australia, and they looked at brain scanning research and said, well, if all of these areas need to be activated for proficient reading to happen, and we can see in the brain of a struggling reader that they're not using the same pathways of the brain, and reading is labored and it's slow, what we need to do is get those, in inverted commas, lazy areas of the brain working so that reading is efficient. And reading obviously is a skill that needs to be automatic. If it's not automatic, all of your working memory is taken up with the skill, the mechanics, the labor of reading. And then there's no space for comprehension. And I'm sure you've seen children who read a passage and by the time they get to the end, they haven't got a clue what it's about.
Yes.
That's because all of the working memory is taken up with the actual decoding process. If you think about, we often use this analogy of driving. If you think about driving, it's an automatic skill. It almost becomes a muscle memory. You don't think about how far you are from the pavement or when you need to indicate. And you can hold a conversation while you're driving or listen to the radio or, you know, have another skill going on. And it should be the same with the reading process. If you think about driving in a storm or somewhere where you don't know where you're going, automatically you turn down the radio or you tell the children to be quiet because you need to be completely focused in that skill of getting the driving done. So we really need to get that decoding process automatic. And the Selfield intervention addresses and activates all of the areas of the brain that are necessary for reading. And we see improvements of 12 months in comprehension and 23 months in decoding ability over 10 hours of Selfield. So that is really remarkable improvement because you're activating the most efficient way of reading. And then obviously if the children are reading more automatically, the comprehension then improves.
Definitely. You know, with matric exams just around the corner, I know a lot of schools, you know, they're busy with their child.
Yes.
Exams in general coming up very soon, and like we said, you know, reading is a skill that's necessary to pass every exam.
Yes.
What tips could you share with us when it comes to looking for keywords, helping children with comprehension skills? What could you share with the listeners?
Okay, well, we do run comprehension workshops, and I think it's, you know, you touched on that earlier where sometimes it's just hearing something that you already know and really just paying attention to it. So I'm sure the teachers have said pay note of the mark allocation. Read the question carefully. Highlight keywords in the question. And what we encourage children to do is to be very self-aware. So often when we're doing one-on-one remedial with a child and we're doing a comprehension skill, we'll turn the table and say, how much would you give yourself for that question? Okay. So they'll look at it and say, oh, how much is it out of? It's out of 5. And what do you think your answer is worth? And all of a sudden the eyes get bigger and and they may say, oh, maybe 2. Well, you know, you need to be giving more information.
Yes.
You also need to understand that your teacher is marking a whole lot of papers, a whole lot. So construct your answer in a way that is easy to mark, where the information is clearly presented, where your answer is concise. And those are skills that, that really children do hear all the time. Don't assume that your teacher knows that you know. And I think especially for matric finals, your teacher, your history teacher is not marking your history paper. Mm-hmm. It's somebody else mm-hmm. who doesn't know what you know and hasn't been teaching you for the last 2 years. So it is important to put down the information so that you make it very clear that you understand the material and you're giving it back. And I think, you know, there's a lot of pressure put on children for that matric final. And that's as much tested almost, well, not as much tested, but it is a big impact. It does have a big impact on the outcomes. So I think for children not to try and not get too stressed out about it, they've written hundreds and hundreds of exams. Don't you just go into it and understand that, you know, it is a pressurized situation. And they're going to be confronted with pressurized situations going forward. You know, going to varsity, the volume increases tenfold of the exams that they're going to be writing. So kind of just to put it into context, to be well prepared to take note of the mark allocation and just do their best, really.
No, definitely. We do wish all our matriculants well over the exams and success. Also, I think, you know, we need to just, you know, when it comes to questioning styles, now you may know the content, but maybe the way the question is set, they may be looking for a specific aspect of that content, and you just jump in and just answer with a whole lot of unnecessary information.
Yeah.
So again, you know, the comprehension skills, look exactly for what they're asking you to do and do that.
Yeah.
When you've worked with children, especially people, or should I say students, where English is not a first language, how has that been for you?
It certainly is a challenge, but all children in our schooling system, we work only with English, but reading skill specifically is the same. The areas of the brain, regardless of the language that a child is reading in, are the same.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're remediating and really working with the brain pathways and making reading more efficient, then it is going to impact across different languages that they are reading in and learning in.
Again, from teaching experience, we found that the younger children that we're dealing with, you know, they find understanding, a lot of schools have Afrikaans as a second language, and they find that much easier because it's a phonetic language.
Yes.
Whereas now when you're talking about English, when you put the W and the R for right, and they look at you, this does not make sense.
Yeah.
And then, you know, for school, S-C-H. Again, you know, it's this whole confusion that's coming there. So trying to explain, okay, that's the other question, you know, for parents that are listening, how do you explain the silent letters to your child? Lamb, knife, right.
Well, I would hope that that gets taught as part of the spelling and the, you know, the phonics program that happens during the teaching process, where children have, you know, a spelling list this week with silent K, knee and knife and all of those. So really it should be integrated into the phonics teaching. And English, yes, it is a lot more challenging if you think of the word enough. There's, you know, we teach letter sound association, and we say when you hear the sound you have to write down the squiggly shape, and then we say except, and there's a whole lot of exceptions, and you know, enough is just one of them, but those exception words do come in. And reading difficulties actually are more prominent in a language like English, where it's not direct letter sound association all the time.
Lots of problems,
and
especially when you need to answer those questions from these budding young readers who want to know, but why is it like this? Because the sound is not what this word is, and how did you come up with it?
Yeah.
And then you look at them and you say, go across Google. Okay, again, advice to parents of young children, advice to parents of older children when it comes to reading delays, or if you pick up any problems with reading.
Okay, well, I think if you are concerned, it is important to have an assessment done. The same as if you were concerned about a health issue, you would go and see a doctor. And by having an assessment done, you can isolate an area that is presenting a difficulty and address it. So it is important to get that done as early as possible. It's easier to close a small gap than it is to close a five-year gap. So earlier intervention is obviously beneficial. And for parents, I would just say keep reading with your children, really keep reading. We encourage parents to read easy material, comic books or Dr. Zeus stories, things that are easy for children to learn to read. It really gives them a lot of confidence for an older child to read to a younger sibling, that type of thing. So reading material that is easy, reading material that is at age level. So that would be a school reader where they're coping with most of the words but still introducing some new words. So you keep pushing that level of reading up, and then reading material that is perhaps beyond their age ability. And that is an opportunity for parents to read to children. So an area that they may be interested in, dinosaurs or sports or whatever. And, you know, for them to have that association around reading being a positive thing, at bedtime when mum reads to or dad reads to the child, and it doesn't have to be something that the child is reading. Again, it is an opportunity to develop vocabulary, to create a lot of interest about a new topic. So those are the three areas that we say read easy, age-appropriate, and challenging material.
That's excellent. That's excellent advice. And again, now with older children, you know, with younger children, you could still sit with them.
Yes.
So you put your little daughter or son on your lap and say, let's read this.
Yeah.
Putting your, calling your 17-year-old and say, come and read next to daddy, your mum or gran. It's not that much easier. Because they want to sit with the tablets,
yes,
and they want to be doing a whole lot of other things.
Mm.
So motivation for older children to read, especially the one that's struggling, and, you know, now the coping mechanisms are there, but now they're running out of ideas, getting frustrated, exam time is coming, they're looking for every excuse to not study because they're having difficulty reading, and especially when they're older, your image, your positive self-image is so important. How can my parents know I can't read?
Yeah.
How can my friends know I can't read? It's not cool.
Well, I hope that it would be addressed and identified prior to 17.
No, no.
But it's not too late to intervene, and it's not too late to improve a reading skill. And I think it's also important, you know, we often have parents that come into the centre and say, my child doesn't want to read. And then we do a reading assessment, and we find that there is a difficulty or there is a delay. And it's important to just be aware that if it is a skill that is not easy, you're not going to want to do it. If somebody says to me, just, you know, go outside and run 10 kilometres, I'm not going to want to do it because it's not something that's easy for me to do.
Of course.
So we have to be aware that that is definitely the situation. If it is something that is not easy and it's not enjoyable and it's labour intensive, they're not going to want to do it. It's not something that they're getting any pleasure out of. So that is really the first thing that needs to be addressed. Is their child reading age appropriately? And then to try and find something, if they are, and the skills are all in place, something that does create some interest for them. So even if it's a sports magazine or something where the content, you know, it's not a big novel that's 500 pages long that they're not going to want to wade through. And children do have quite an academic load as it is. So I get a lot of pleasure when I see children that do read for pleasure, that, you know, a break from the studying is actually picking up a book and reading.
And they appreciate a book as a gift instead of something else.
Yes.
There are many children that still do that, thankfully. You know, once there was this one quote that I read, that there's no such thing that a child doesn't love reading. It's that the child hasn't been given the right book yet.
Yeah.
So maybe could you please share your favorite quote on the importance of reading with us? I mean, you're an avid reader. You obviously have a passion for reading.
I think one that we have up on, in our reading centre is never judge a book by its movie.
Okay. Now that you need to talk a little bit more about that, because I must be very naughty. I'm going to make a confession here on radio. When it came to doing book reviews in high school, if any of my high school teachers are listening, I'm sorry, but I managed to pass. You know, we obviously needed to do book reviews,
yes,
and again, sometimes some of us didn't like reading very much when we were younger, and now as we're getting older, obviously, we have the passion for it. So sometimes we'd read a bit in the front, a little bit in the middle, a little to the end, read what was written at the back, and just make up your book review. And the good thing is, having the gift of the gab, you could prove to yourself, no, I read this book and this is what I thought about it, and then you realize, you know, I just needed to do what I need to do. These days you hear teens telling you, I'll just watch the movie, or I'll just go and check the reviews on Google.
Yes.
And again, just, you know, again, plagiarism, you're copying that down. But often that's what we used to do.
Mm.
I mean, I used to do that, I'm being honest.
Yeah. I think the other thing is just to hope that the teacher hadn't read that book that you were doing the review on.
But, you know, we were speaking about it before we started the show, that sometimes when you're watching the movie of a particular book, and you didn't read the book, or you've read the book and you're watching the movie, you're losing this plot. And I'm saying this in inverted commas,
yes,
somewhere.
Yeah.
Just talk a little bit more about that, please.
Sure. Well, if you think about reading the book, you lying on your bed and you're reading and you're turning the pages and you're engrossed in the characters and the plot and the description of what, you know, the setting and so on. So you're very engaged in the material. You're creating pictures in your head. There are words there, pictures painted from descriptive text and so on. Whereas if you're watching a movie, you just receptive. You're just sitting, absorbing something that somebody else has given you.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why often we're very disappointed when we see a movie of a book that we've really loved. I've sometimes been reluctant to go and see a movie because I don't want to be disappointed from the magic that I've created in my own head about a book that I've read and enjoyed so much.
Yes, yes.
So, yeah, it's always an interesting one. And we do see children who say, oh, I'll just watch the movie.
Okay. Angela, please share your contact details with the listeners.
Sure. My email address is angela@theworkshop, and that's hyphenated, the little hyphen workshop.co.za. My cell number is 082-449-2188.
Please repeat that.
082-449-2188. You can find us on Facebook, the Workshop Reading Center, or on the internet, www.the-workshop. And what else? Our landline, 011-467-2193.
Please repeat that as well.
011-467-2193.
Okay, what is your message to our young listeners regarding reading, to our youth? What would you like to tell our youth?
A whole new world opens up between those pages, and really for you guys to get your reading on par with where it needs to be, it'll make your learning easier, and it's an exciting, exciting world between the two covers of a book. So keep reading, it'll open your mind.
And to the frustrated parents and maybe frustrated educators that are tuned in today,
get some help. You don't need to do it on your own. And it's important to get our children reading. And, you know, for educators, you sometimes are the person that a child sees more than a parent. And your excitement about reading as a parent and an educator can really ignite that in children that we work with. And that is something quite special.
Okay, my one last question to you. Unfortunately, these days, you don't see many children holding a book.
Mm-hmm.
They prefer holding their tablets. That is still reading.
Yes.
That is still reading. But then again, they're forgetting those special qualities of holding a book and the grace and courtesies of handling a book.
Yes.
What would you like to say to them? Because no matter how advanced technology can be,
mm-hmm.
You can't compare it to actually holding a book. Turning the pages, like you're saying, igniting that imagination, building the vocabulary.
Yes. Well, I think as long as they're reading, that's the most important thing, as you said. For me, it is a preference for me to still hold a book and turn the pages and you know, have a bookmark and all of that. But I do find that moving forward, more and more, even colleagues and peers and adults are starting to prefer working with a tablet, and I don't think we're going to be able to undo that.
Yeah.
But yeah. I do hope that the magic of the printed text on paper does last and endure.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your time.
It's
and
a
keep
pleasure.
Up with the phenomenal work that you're doing. And I've done a lot of reading about you. I haven't watched the movie. And I know you do some phenomenal work around the country. I know Angela does workshops around the country at various schools with various professionals. And also, you know, to help parents and learners overcome their barriers and challenges to learning. So I look forward to having you with me on the show again really, really soon. And all the best to you and to your team for the phenomenal work that you are doing.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Only a pleasure. To our beloved listeners, inshallah, we will be chatting again next week. Next week, it's going to be a topic that's creating a lot of panic around South Africa. We're going to be talking about child trafficking in South Africa. How bad is it in the country right now? We're going to be having guests from the South African Police Service. So I look forward to that interview next week. Inshallah, on behalf of myself and my engineer, Ziad. Inshallah, have a great week. And remember, send your du'as. Jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.